And then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that fully well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them? Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Thank you ever so much, you too. Okay. So as we start, I've got a question. Hands up if you like, or maybe like when you were a bit younger, building things with Lego. Oh, lots and lots of hands up for that. Now, it's great being able to build with Lego. You can make just about anything, I think, out of Lego. Now, I've got a big box of Lego or Duplo here. And if I tip this out, I've not really made anything happen, other than just a big mess and a very loud noise. It's just a jumble of pieces, brightly coloured pieces, but there's no kind of order. It's just a mess. Lots of potential for building things, yeah. But at the moment, just a mess, a jumble of different pieces. Now, this is what some people think human beings are like. Just a jumble of different chemicals randomly joined together, bumping into each other. That there's nothing particularly special about humans. We're just accidents. A product of time and matter and chance. But the Bible tells us a different story. A very much better story than that. A story that chimes in far more with the reality of life. A story that explains why we care about wars happening, people suffering a long way away from us. The Bible tells us that we are made. Not accidents, but that we are made. Now I wonder, do I have a couple of volunteers who might like to come and try and build something out of my Lego here? Josh, you can come. Eva, you come. Have a go. You've got a box there. Go wild. Build something with a Lego for us during the course of our service. That would be great. Okay. As I say, the Bible tells us that we are not just random accidents, but made individually, carefully, put together. You know, like Eva and Josh are doing now, they're putting one brick on top of the other. God made us just the way we are. We've just heard that verse read from Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Doesn't it say about how the care and the attention that goes into making us? Now, I meant to bring along a jumper that I have, a Christmas jumper that my mum knitted for me. And I've only just realised that I left it at home. But that jumper is a one-off jumper. Because mum knitted it. She made sure that each bit of wool went in just the right place. It's unique. There's no other jumper quite like that in the whole of the world. It's a one-off, it's made. And that's how the Bible describes each and every one of us. Unique creations. God made each and every one of us different. He knits us together. We're not just accidents. We are made by God. And this is true of every human being who has ever lived in the history of planet Earth. God has been specifically making people ever since the very first people, Adam and Eve. Now, we heard that reading from Genesis, the very first book in the Bible. And the writer of Genesis wanted us to be really, really clear that we are made. Let's look at this verse, Genesis 1:27. It's on the screen. And let's count together how many times the word created, that's just another word for made, how many times created appears in this verse. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Three times, created, created, created. We can't miss the fact that we are made. We are created by God. Now, what are you guys making here? Josh, what's going on here?
I tried making animals.
So you're making some animals out of like, what have we got? We've got snake?
Yeah, and then we've got a giraffe.
Snake and a giraffe and a cow. Excellent. Eva, what have we got here? A robot that sucks up apples. We don't get too close to Josh's apples, but they might fall out. But you're building a wonderful robot. And the thing is, you know, when you make something, you can decide what you do with it. Josh is going to be able to decide what adventures these animals go on, where they're living, the environment they're in. Eva's going to be able to decide what animals that robot sucks up and what happens to them in the midst of that robot. You know, these guys will get to do that because they've created the things. They get to make the rules. And you know, the same is true with us and God. God makes us. So he's the one who gets to define what's right and wrong for us to do with our bodies. He can set the guidelines for how we're to use our bodies rightly. He made us, so he knows what's best for us. Now remember, when these words are written about in Genesis, they're right back at the beginning, when God had created everything from nothing. And at this time, the world is good. There's no sin in the world. And this is how God is setting up the world to work best, setting us humans up to work best. He made us just the way we are. He gave us our bodies. So our bodies are good things. They're his gift, his presence to us. So that means we're actually to care for our bodies really well, because they have been made specially for us. Now, we've said all of our bodies are unique, but all of our bodies are either male or female, boy bodies or girl bodies. God's made us that way. You see that there? God made them male and female. He created them. And there are some differences between our male bodies and female bodies, and that's good. That's okay. There are lots of things that both men and women can and should do that are the same. But there are some things that are different. You know, think of one. Only women can give birth to babies because their bodies have been set up that way. And that's good. God made us to be different, but that those differences are meant to work together as part of God's good plan. God's made all of us. And the fact that we are made by God means that life goes best when we follow his instructions. Now, suppose rather than just tipping out a great big box of Lego for Josh and Eva to build with, suppose I got them one of those kits, you know, a tree house or a castle or the Millennium Falcon. You guys, you have to follow the instructions. They'd have to follow the instructions of those kits if we were going to get the right thing. Otherwise, you know, the castle might have three turrets, but it wouldn't have a front door. The treehouse might fall out of the tree. That'd be a disaster. You know, the Millennium Falcon might be missing its engine, and it wouldn't fly. You need to follow the instructions carefully to get the thing looking like it's meant to. And in the same way, the fact that God's made us
means that there is a best way to live. And that's to follow his guidelines, the guidelines that he set out for us in our Bibles. And that we can use the wonderful bodies the way he intended us to use them, the best way we possibly can. You see, things go wrong when we start deciding for ourselves how to live. And as I said, that's the situation our world is in at the moment. It's confused about these ideas of identity and gender and sexuality, because it's forgotten that we are made by God. And so that life will go better when we follow his ways, not our own. We follow the Maker's plans. As I said, the Living Out morning will be a great opportunity to think more about those things. So do be silent, thinking Christianly about these areas. So God has made us. That's the first thing for us to take away today. God has made us. But you know what? There's even more good news. When you make something that's really important, you care about it, don't you? Now, on the screen is one of the most famous places in the world. Has anyone got an idea where that is? Anyone got an idea where that is? Yeah. Exactly, the Sistine Chapel in Rome, in the Pope's house in Rome in the Vatican. And that was painted by a guy called Michelangelo. Not the Mutant Ninja Turtle, but the artist Michelangelo. He painted that. And anyone got any idea how long it took him to paint that whole thing? Even how long do you think it took him?
A whole day.
You think it took him a whole day? It took him a bit longer than a day. Anyone got any ideas how long it took him to paint this massive room, this ceiling? Any guesses? Go on, Josh.
Like 3 years.
3 years? Good guess. More than 3 years? Lydia? 5 years. That's what I guess. They're not sure. It's about 4 or 5 years it took to paint this entire room and the amazing ceiling. Two. How do you think he felt about this piece of artwork? How do you think he'd feel after painting all of that? Yep.
Proud.
Proud? Yeah. Any other thoughts on how he'd feel about it? Yep, sir.
Exhausted.
Yep, I think he would be absolutely exhausted. And he would care very, very much about this artwork.
You know, if I just went up with a great big felt tip pen and scribbled all over, burned a marker, made a mess of it.
I think Michelangelo would be pretty annoyed at me if I'd done that, if I'd messed up all his hard work. And that's something similar to how us are with God and human beings. He's made us, so he cares about us very, very much. You see, God didn't have to make us. It wasn't that God was bored one day and thought, you know, let's just make up this thing called humans, like Eva's animal-eating monster, or Josh's interesting animal creations. Nothing like that. No, the Bible tells us that God created human beings out of an overflow of love. Here in verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." See, the big truth in the Bible is that God isn't just one person. He's three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who have always perfectly loved one another. And then that love spills over and creates human beings who he loves and who should therefore love and praise him in return. You know, if you really, really love someone and care about them, you might make them something, maybe a card or a cake. Well, the three persons of God loved each other so much that they made human beings. And God loves these human beings that he's made. We're made out of love, and we're made to be loved by God. God made everything in the whole universe, the Bible tells us. But he cares particularly about human beings, because we're made in his image. It's there in verse 26. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. That means we are meant to be a bit like God. Now, God doesn't have a body, so it can't mean we look at a human being and know a little bit about what God looks like. You know, God is not 6 foot tall, light brown hair, blue eyes. That's not what God is like. No, being a bit like God, being made in his image, means that we share some of the characteristics of God. You know, we are creative people. Because God is perfectly creative. We understand things about right and wrong because God perfectly understands what is right and wrong. We have a job to do in the world, a bit like God does. You know, God is ultimately in charge of the whole universe. But he made humans to lovingly rule the world under him. You saw that there in verse 28. God blessed them, that's Adam and Eve, the human beings, first human beings, and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Do you see? God talks about human beings ruling over the world, bringing out all of its goodness and helping it all to praise God. God doesn't give this job to the zebras or the rabbits or the octopuses to do. No, no. He gives it to us human beings. It's an important job. So he shows he really cares about us by giving us that most important of job. And look how God feels after he has made human beings. Up until now, God has made the light and the dark, the sun and the moon, the earth, the sea, the land, the plants, the sky, the animals, and they have been good, 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 good. But then, after he's made human beings, verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And this is a reminder that if we are feeling very unloved, and perhaps even very unlovely, at our core, we are people who are precious to God, made as an overflow of God's love, made in his image, given a job to do, made as something that is very, very good. We don't need to listen to what the world tells us about ourselves and our bodies, that they don't matter, that they're ours to choose to do whatever we want with, and that God doesn't care about what we do with our bodies. That's simply not true. We need to listen more closely to what God says about us and our bodies, rather than listening to what other people say. You know, we can be so sure that we are loved by the fact that when Jesus came to fix the mess that humanity had made of everything, he came as a human being. He came to rescue and redeem our human bodies, to be the perfect human that we will fail to be. See, God doesn't give up on humans like he could well have done, but his plan is to remake us perfect like Jesus. I mean, this is a huge topic. There's so much more that could be said. But what I hope we can go away with is remembering that the Bible screams out to us that we are made by God and that we are loved by God. And would we remember that when the world tells us so many different, confusing messages, would we hold on to these simple, wonderful truths? Why don't I close in prayer? Father God, thank you so much that you made us and you loved us, and you love us still. Father, thank you that even though we as human beings have failed in the job you gave us to do, you care. Help us to remember that when we hear so many other messages about who we are, what we've been made to be. Would we listen to what you, the Creator, say? And would that help us in those moments when we're feeling unloved and unlovely? To remember that the God who created the heavens and the earth made us and cares for us and has a purpose for us. In Jesus' name, amen.